as we turn our hearts back toward that word from God that was itself a little bit scary. I want you to contemplate a question, and then we'll pray. So the question is, if you had to pick like top three definitions of friendship, right? There's a lot of different ways you can describe or define friendship, right? What are the top three, your top three of how you would describe or define friendship, okay? Let's pray. God, thanks for friends and family. Thank you for a moment to gather around your word, to consider it, to turn it over in our hearts and minds, Lord. Do your work in our midst because of your promise for the sake of Jesus and for the sake of our souls as we live and breathe in this moment and in the days to come. Lord, give us something to walk away with today. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, so top three ways you would define friendship. If you're sitting close to somebody, or maybe you can turn around to get the person behind you or in front of you. Top three ways. How would you define friendship? So just take a few seconds and do that now. Do we have anyone willing to share a couple of their responses? I heard some good ones. Somebody that's loyal. Somebody that's trustworthy. Somebody you like to have fun with, right? Otherwise, what's the point? Any others out there, you think? Someone you can be vulnerable with. Oh, that's good. Thank you. Yeah, so on my list of three, I had someone with whom you share a common interest, right? So you have some common ground with each other. Then you have some shared experiences, probably based on those common interests. And then someone that shows you patience, and someone with whom you can show patience, right? And that's what's going to take us into our text today, that aspect of patience and what it actually demonstrates to each other when we show that, but all the more what it means when God demonstrates his patience to you and why that matters. And so here's why that matters. Like, God's power to endure, God's power of patience, it profoundly points to his love. So God's power to endure profoundly points to his love. And so as we break down God's power to endure, we're going to focus on patience, waiting, and love. Patience, waiting, and love. So let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 to kick off and lead us into a thought on patience. There we are. Okay. Thank you. You guys are doing great up there. Appreciate you. All right. So if you want to read this with us, that'd be great. Verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. All right. So, patience flows from love. And how many of you have heard this phrase before? Love is slow. How many of you have heard that before? Love is slow. I had not heard that phrase or put it like that until I started here, actually. And it was a good guiding word for us getting started because as a pastor in particular, there's a lot of things I want to do right away. And even right now, as a fairly young church, right, we're less than a year old. And if you think about a church as a human, what can one-year-olds do? Some of you have recent experience with this. Or kids that are under a year. What do they do? They drool. Yep. They grow. Yep. They sleep, right? They eat. They make all kinds of expressions, and sometimes you need to clean up messes. So, and I think we'll be experiencing that as Emmaus continues to grow and get older. We can't do everything that churches that have been around for 10 years or 5 years or 140 years, right? God's allowed them to grow to do specific things right where they are. And God has something specific he wants us to do right here, right now, too. And it's not going to be the same. It's going to look and feel different, but that's all right because we're one. We're not even one, right? That's coming up. And so while we wait and anticipate and just can't wait for that day to get started or to do bigger things, there are great things we can do right now. One of those things just happens to be a watch party that's happening next Saturday. The kickoff is at 3:30. I hope you can join us. But we do this because we believe that we are seen, heard, and loved by God. And that God reveals his love, as Peter writes, through his patience. And so we want to create opportunities for other people to experience that love of God, experience being seen by him, experience being heard by him. And not a whole lot of people come at 10:30 on a Sunday morning, right? There are other times and other places they're more likely to come. And so we're going to invest in those opportunities as well. Patience flows from love. Love is slow. And so while we wait as Emmaus for bigger things, we get to enjoy the tempo we're at right now. And love is slow, but it is strong. And another aspect of love being slow, right? Love is slow, is that as love starts, right, there are a few other things that can look like it. And it's hard to tell if it's love or something else. So love being slow actually helps us to be able to determine and to discern what's real. Is this really love? Or is it something else, right? Is this love or is it infatuation? Is it love or are you being manipulated or deceived, right? And so love being slow endures, right? And that flows, and it flows into patience. And this idea of love being slow comes to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right? Paul writes, here's how he puts it, right? Maybe you know this verse by heart. Maybe you've heard it in a bunch of different weddings. It's seems to be a popular text. And if you know it or you can read it slowly. Ready? Love is patient, right? It's another way to say love is slow, right? Love is patient. Right? And so God is not slow as some understand slowness. And what I want to know from Peter is, what does he mean by as some understand slowness? Who are the some he's talking about? Like, do they understand like God is slow like he's not smart? Or God is slow like he's just not capable of moving that fast because of how big he is? If he is God, he is almighty, he's got his own timetable, he can't go my speed, he's not able to. It's a supposed limit or a perceived limit on God. But Peter says, God is not slow as you and I understand slowness. God is not confined to any particular pace. God is patient, taking the speed of all things into account, knowing intimately every person, knowing every season, knowing every month, knowing every moment, and taking action at just the right time. Love is patient. Perhaps another way to say that or to see that is that love waits. Now, I'm not dipping into a thing from the 90s called True Love Waits, but there is something about a love being patient that lends toward waiting, right? Waiting. And when you and I think about waiting, what do we typically think of? Like waiting rooms, right? or we have to wait, we're waiting in line for something. And so when we think of waiting, we think of inactivity, right? We think that we're in one spot, not doing anything, except maybe growing impatient. our love is being put to the test for humanity. I remember when we lived in California early on, we had to go to the DMV a few different times. And the DMV in California is the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's California's version of the Secretary of State's office, right? And there wasn't a lot of things digital back in the early 2000s, way back when. Oh, man, I sound old. Older than I feel, though. Anyway, so I'm at the DMV, and we have to get licenses changed over because we just moved there, and like, it is California, and there is a sea of people, and it just takes a long, long time. And at that point in my life, I was still pretty focused on me and just how inconvenient things were for me. And that translated to how I treated people, sitting next to me, usually avoiding them because I don't want to get into conversation because it's going to slow me down and distract me from what I'm here to do. And also then, like, I'm annoyed, I'm put out, and I take that energy into my conversation with the person I need to talk to, who's also overwhelmed and frustrated because she's dealing with people like me all day, every day, right? And so instead of seeing that opportunity as an opportunity for patience and genuine love for this person on the other side of the counter, I miss it completely, right? Because I misunderstand what waiting means. Waiting is not being inactive. It's not being stuck in one place in a room somewhere. Waiting, actually, Tim Keller, he's a pastor and church planter, gone. He died recently, and so we thank God for the promises for him. But he preaches about God's patience, and in one sermon in particular, he talks about how the English word of waiting is actually, the root of it is more closely connected to the idea of serving, right? So waiting is actually closer to serving. And we actually see this in our language, right? When you think about wait staff, what do? Now, we used to call them, what, waiters and waitresses, but now we call them servers, right? People who serve, right? So the idea of waiting is actually more closely connected to action, and action on behalf of another person. And so in waiting, we see the opportunity to serve, and we see then, and if God is waiting, that must mean that he is serving. So how is God serving you through waiting? What does that mean? As God waits for his moment to return, as we wait for that moment, God is serving you. God's serving, his serving you in this moment, at this place, at this time, he inspires you. He instructs you, instructs your soul on how to wait, right? And how does God wait? Where do we see that in the stories we get from Scripture? We see it throughout what we call the Old Testament, right? Those first 39 books of the Bible. It's all the time preceding Jesus coming. We see God doing a lot of waiting, right? As a parent, if I have to repeat myself and wait for a response abnormally long time, I get very impatient, right? My patience runs out, right? God has hundreds of years worth of patience. And even then, it doesn't run out. It gets to a point where something has to change. And so God never runs out of patience for you, which is really good, because there are times as his people where if God's waiting for me to change, he's going to be waiting a long time. And so God, on the one hand, he doesn't wait for you to change. He takes action for you. But on the other hand, he's always waiting for you. He's always patient with you. Never treats you as your sins deserve. Never treats me as my sins deserve. And so that takes us to the words of verses 11 and 12. God serves because He loves. And we've got some words here from Peter. Well, we read them, you heard them before. We're going to read them once more here now. And instead of focusing on the scary things that are being talked about, I mean, take that in as well, but to also try to listen for the love that Peter is trying to give to people through these words, all right? Figure out how that might go. All right, so let's read these together. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. Right? This, right, you might be thinking, like, this is why Christians get the rap that we're fire and brimstone, going around condemning and judging everyone, right? Because, like, everything's going to dissolve, right? The world will burn. And so sometimes, and actually some Christians then, like, well, what does it matter? What does it matter what I do in the world? What does it matter how I handle creation or how I treat people that don't know Jesus? Everything is going to burn. What's the point? Well, if that's what you walk away with from reading this, you actually miss the words of Peter towards the end of verse 11, right? What does he say toward the end of verse 11? If we can go back a couple. Thank you. So if everything is going away, what sort of people ought you to be? If this is how the world is going to go, how do you live now? If you're waiting for God to return, how do you live in the midst of this? As people who live in fear because of everything that's going to be on fire? Or is Peter doing something? Is he making a different move here? Right? If you know your kids are going to go through something scary, or maybe you have a friend that has to go through a procedure and they're kind of worked up about it, what's a method you could take to help them through it, right? You talk them through what's about to happen so that when it happens, right, they have knowledge of it, they know, and it might be scary, but they know after they go through it, something better is going to happen. And so Peter is giving insight to his readers here that the end is going to be scary. And it's actually the patience of God delaying that. So the longer that Jesus waits, it actually means he's going to be working out salvation in people. And so it's a good thing that he waits. And after all of that dissolving things in fire, there's going to be something that God recreates. A new heavens and a new earth. So there's something to look forward to. And if that's what we're looking forward to, how do we treat what God has made now? Right? What do we do while we wait? How do we serve creation on God's behalf as his representatives here? How do we serve one another as his representatives here? How do we treat people who are outside God's church right now? The same way God treated you when you were outside his family. Right? He came after you. He treated you with patience and love. He waited on you. He served you. Right? It just keeps ringing throughout these readings and throughout the writing of the New Testament, Romans chapter 6. Like, when we were still enemies, that's the precise moment God came for you. Right? When you only brought struggle, right? When you only brought death, when you only brought sin, that's when God saw you. That's when God heard you. That's when God sent his son, sent Jesus to take your place, to be yours, so that you will be his. Verse 15. Read this with me, if you will. Count the patience of our Lord as salvation. So patience reveals how we can wait And not just wait around for God to show up, but be active in our waiting, loving this world that he has made and the people he's put in it. And recognizing that the longer Jesus waits, the more people he brings into the faith. The longer Jesus waits, the more people are given the faith to believe. If God loved you when you were far away from him, dead to him, a rebel that preferred the lie instead of the truth, like most of Israel on the journey from slavery to freedom, and most of Israel after they settled the promised land, and most of Israel when Jesus came. If this is how God is patient with his people, think of his patience for you, his love for you when you were far from him. And he didn't see you as an enemy, even though you were. He didn't see you as a hopeless rebel, even though you were. He looked at you and he saw a son. He looked at you and saw a daughter. He looked at you and saw someone that needs his grace. Someone for whom he did die. Someone for whom he did rise again. Someone for whom he now is speaking to you that you may have life. Because God sees and hears you this way, as one who is boldly and dearly loved, someone that he makes holy, you can know that he hears you. He hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. He hears your heartache. He hears your frustration. He hears those days when you just don't have anything left in your tank. You are spent. He hears your head when it's spinning in anxiety. Hears your heart when it's overflowing with joy. He sees you when you can't stop laughing at a ridiculous quote or the laugh of a baby. In all your moments, Jesus gives you assurance of his love that is deep and wide and real. More real than anything and all the things that seek to keep you in despair, that seek to keep you distant, that seek to create doubt in your mind and your heart over how good could God possibly be if things are going to end that way. Because if the world ends in that way, as Peter explains, we look forward to something new that God is going to do. And so you can know and believe because of his patience, because of God's waiting of how he serves you, God loves you. Say that with me, ready? God loves you. One more time. God loves you. In the single life you live, God loves you. In your marriage, on the days where it's better and worse, God loves you. In the highs and lows of parenting, God loves you. And the highs and lows of being a kid, enduring your parents, God loves you. As a student, God loves you. As a friend, God loves you. As a worker, loves you. As a worker, a neighbor, a friend, God loves you, he is patient with you, and he is present for you. God's power to endure profoundly points to his love for you. And what does this look like? What this looks like is what God is inviting you to live out today as you follow him. Believing that God loves you, believing that he is patient with you, and that would carry into conversations you have with people inside and outside of your car, inside and outside of your home, inside and outside of God's church. God's patience, his power to endure, profoundly points to his love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.